Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 621. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Our feedback email address, ccrecap@gmail.com. Well, the Michigan Campaign Finance Network reporting that Michigan members of Congress have brought in almost $19 million of the almost $23 million raised by candidates running in the August 7th primary. Is this massive incumbent financial advantage one that any challenger can really overcome? To talk about the numbers, I'm joined by the network's executive director, Rich Robinson. Rich, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Good to be with you, Mike.
So $18.7 million raised by the incumbents and $4 million by the challengers, an over $4 to $1 advantage. Is this what we typically see here in Michigan?
It's not far from the norm. Usually, it looks fairly similar to what we had 2 years ago. And if you look at the general election candidates rather than the primary candidates, it's typically incumbents have in aggregate a 4 or 5 to 1 advantage financially. So there's a terrific advantage in raising money. Goes to an incumbent.
Would you say practically insurmountable?
Well, you have to have a combination of a few things. You have to have a good candidate to knock off an incumbent. And we've had wave elections the last 3 years. So you had a situation where, for example, last time Tim Walberg beat Mark Schauer, who was running as an incumbent. Of course, Schauer had beaten Walberg 2 years before by a fairly wide margin in 2010, and I think it had to do with the fact that it was a big Republican year. 2 years before that, it was a big Democratic year.
So let me ask you, I want to ask you about the 7th and 8th districts, which is Tim Walberg. You note in your report $1.3 million for him, Mike Rogers $1.4 million. So in their case, obviously, they're running unopposed for the primary. They just save that money for the general election then?
Well, there actually is a challenger to Tim Walberg in the 7th district, somebody named Dan Davis, who hasn't filed a report, probably hasn't raised any money. Mike Rogers has two challengers, neither of whom has filed a report and raised any money. So, yeah, they'll hold that money and keep it for the general election. But even when they get to the general election, they're running against opponents who don't have much money and probably don't have much of a chance.
Now, your report finds that Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dave Camp of Midland and Commerce and Energy Chairman Fred Upton of St. Joseph received by far the most money, both over $3 million apiece, more than double than other incumbents got. So where is this all this extra money coming from to them?
Well, anybody who wants to have a voice in the tax writing process wants to have access to Dave Camp. And so I'm sure there are interest groups all over Washington looking to show Dave Camp some love. The portfolio of the Energy and Commerce Committee, similarly, is huge and very economically important. So it's the same kind of situation. You know, earlier on this year, the Club for Growth said they were going to challenge Fred Upton in this primary election and that they were going to back Jack Hoogendyk. And it just didn't amount to anything. They bought $5,000 worth of cable ads. Mm-hmm. The Michigan and U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Chemical Council answered that with about $500,000 worth of ads. And there really hasn't been much of a challenge there. So,
tell me, though, what kind of limits are there when it comes to the funding that these folks are raising?
Well, individuals can give a candidate $2,500 for each election. That is $2,500 for the primary, $2,500 for the general election. A political action committee can give $5,000 in a calendar year. So in that two-year cycle, they can give as much as $10,000 to a candidate for the U.S. House.
So does that leave any kind of real impression on a candidate when he just gets a maximum of $10,000 from any particular PAC?
Well, I think the key to amplifying your voice and the impression you make is to bundle the contributions. So a typical pattern will be somebody will host a fundraiser, get their contract or their contacts in their industry together to come together and support their candidate. You might get a number of executives in a given corporation. There are different approaches, but you really do want to bundle it to have a greater impact and a greater impression on the candidate or the incumbent.
Now, the money goes to what? The vast majority goes to television commercials for these campaigns?
Well, they will if they're competitive. And when somebody, Mike Rogers, for example, in the Lansing media market, inevitably he'll spend some money on television, even if he doesn't have a competitive electoral situation, just to be visible for his supporters, go through the effort of a significant campaign, but they won't have to spend a lot of money.
So if you've raised $2 million, how much of it typically are these incumbents who are basically, in essence, are running unchallenged in so many ways, how much of that money do they typically spend on TV ads, and where does the rest of it go?
Well, they may spend as much as $1 million in a campaign. What I'm observing among a lot of the incumbents in the Michigan congressional delegation is they've moderated their fundraising. For example, Candace Miller never seems to raise much more than $500,000. And that's an element of restraint, I think, in the whole process. Others, you know, 2 years ago, we had three very competitive congressional elections. In those three contests, in the general election, $30 million was spent, and the candidates were only about 40% of that. 60% and up was third-party groups spending money mainly on television ads. So
they end up having a lot of money in their pocket when it's all said and done after the campaigns are over.
They've got an awful lot left over in their campaign fund that they just won't need to spend. You look at Dave Camp, he hasn't had a competitive election probably since he won his first election. So, you know, and just 4 years ago, he raised $1.2 million in an election cycle. So,
and once that money is kind of saved, is it tracked somehow, or does it just kind of go off the radar?
Well, it's there in their campaign balance, and of course anything they raise and spend is reported to the Federal Election Commission, but somebody like Dave Camp probably wouldn't need to raise any more money for the rest of his career in Congress.
About 15 seconds left, but we're going to see a lot more money coming in than in the fall. Does the funding increase dramatically?
Generally it does, and where we're going to have a competitive election, and it looks like the first district is one that will be. Not only will the candidates raise more money, but the third-party groups will weigh in a big way. They'll end up spending a lot more than the candidates do.
Rich Robinson, Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, just released their report today on fundraising, campaign fundraising by incumbents and challengers. Rich, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Mike.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by an official from the NAACP to tell us about last week's convention. Mitt Romney was there. He got booed. We'll find out all the details next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.